The Prime Minister has said he's deeply sorry for every life that's been lost during the COVID-19 pandemic, as the official number of coronavirus deaths in the UK passed 100,000. The figure represents the highest loss of life in Europe and the fifth highest in the world. Boris Johnson added that the government would learn lessons, but that it had done everything it could to minimise suffering. Dr. Deepti Gurdasani, an epidemiologist from Queen Mary University, says the recent surge in deaths was a direct consequence of loosened restrictions.
We warned about this in summer. We had a very rapid easing of lockdown. We had schools opening without mitigatory measures, and all of those things contributed to a surge in cases. Of course, the new variant that's arisen hasn't helped either. So I think it's a consequence of multiple failures of government over many months over the summer and autumn, and then over Christmas as well.
Our health editor, Hugh Pym, says that despite the bad news, there are some reasons to be hopeful.
Looking at some of the data, there are some slightly more positive signs. The number of newly diagnosed, newly reported cases is coming down 25% week on week. The number of new hospital admissions is falling. Sir Simon Stevens, head of NHS England, said the death rate with COVID in hospitals had fallen from a third to a fifth of those with the virus.
A group of police officers are facing fines for breaching coronavirus restrictions after getting their hair cut by a barber in an East London police station. In total, 31 officers took part in the event while on duty. Two of them are being investigated for misconduct. President Biden has signed into law measures designed to tackle systemic racism in the United States. In an address, Mr. Biden said the sight of a white police officer putting his knee on the neck of the unarmed black man, George Floyd, had marked a turning point in U.S. attitudes towards racial justice. He also said people from ethnic minorities had been disproportionately affected by the pandemic.
One in seven households in America, about one in four black, one in five Latino households in America, report that they don't have enough food to eat in the United States of America. Black and Latino Americans are dying of COVID-19 at rates nearly three times that of white Americans. And it's not white Americans' fault, but just a fact.
Protesters campaigning against the HS2 rail project have dug a tunnel near London's Euston Station in a bid to stop their eviction from a local park. The tunnel, which is 100 feet long, makes it harder for the demonstrators to be removed. A spokeswoman for HS2 criticised the action as costly to the taxpayer. A new plan has been developed to combat grey squirrels, which aren't native to the UK and do damage to trees. The creatures will be lured into feeding boxes by hazelnut spread, which will be laced with oral contraceptives to reduce their population.
Live from NPR News, I'm Lakshmi Singh. The Biden administration is taking its first steps of confronting racial injustices, including those related to policing and prison reform. In signing executive orders today, the president invoked the name of George Floyd, who died after a Minneapolis police officer pressed his knee on Floyd's neck for several minutes.
Those 8 minutes and 46 seconds that took George Floyd's life open the eyes of millions of Americans and millions of people around all over the world. It was the knee on the neck of justice, and it wouldn't be forgotten.
Video of Floyd's death last Memorial Day went viral and moved millions around the globe to hold demonstrations against racial injustice. Russia's interference in our elections, bounties on the heads of American troops in Afghanistan, and concerns but the latest arrest of a Russian opposition leader reportedly all came up in President Biden's phone call today with Russian President Vladimir Putin. It was his first since taking office. Biden's agenda also includes rebuilding alliances. He reportedly expressed a willingness to extend the U.S.-Russia arms control treaty for 5 years. Dominion Voting Systems says it's planning more defamation lawsuits against others who promoted Trump's baseless claims of election fraud. That could include media outlets. Here's Colorado Public Radio's Benta Berkland.
Dominion is seeking $1.3 billion in damages from former Trump attorneys Rudy Giuliani and Sidney Powell over their public claims that the company rigged the election for President Joe Biden. Tom Clare is representing Dominion and says it's preparing other suits.
And we're looking at everybody, and what role they played in either making statements themselves about Dominion or perpetuating the false statements that were made. So at this stage, we have not ruled anyone out.
Clare says no amount of money can reverse the falsehoods he says millions of people now believe about the company or repair the reputational and financial damage to Dominion. For NPR News, I'm Benta Berkland in Denver.
Eli Lilly says it has encouraging new data about a monoclonal antibody treatment for people with mild to moderate COVID-19. Details from NPR's Richard Harris.
The Food and Drug Administration has given emergency authorization for monoclonal antibodies from Eli Lilly and Regeneron to help keep people with mild to moderate COVID-19 out of the hospital. But expert panels say the data to date hasn't been strong enough to know whether these drugs are truly effective. Eli Lilly's new data could help settle that question. The company announced that a two-antibody combination substantially reduced the risk of hospitalization. Lilly has asked the FDA to okay this combination treatment. Lilly and Regeneron are also independently trying to see if lower doses of these drugs will be effective to stretch the supply and possibly so they can be given as shots instead of time-consuming infusions. Richard Harris, NPR News.
This is NPR. Heavy snow has blanketed much of northern Arizona, complicating travel throughout the region. Member station KNAU's Ryan Heinches reports state transportation officials have closed local highways because of dangerous conditions.
A pair of successive storms in recent days brought 2 or more feet of snow to Flagstaff and many of the surrounding higher elevation areas. Even heavier snow has fallen on the San Francisco peaks north of the city, where the concern of backcountry avalanches has grown. The State Department of Transportation closed parts of major highways crossing the mountainous northern reaches of the state, and Arizona's lower deserts even reported rare snow accumulation. It's a welcome change for the drought-stricken region following the driest year on record for the Flagstaff area, which received less than half of its normal precipitation in 2020. For NPR News, I'm Ryan Heinches in Flagstaff.
Investors are waiting to see what comes out of this year's first Federal Reserve meeting, which ends tomorrow. The Fed is likely to maintain a very loose monetary stance with an economy battered by the coronavirus pandemic. That's what confronts former Fed Chair Janet Yellen at the Treasury Department. Today she was sworn in as Treasury Secretary. She's the first woman to hold that post. Vice President Kamala Harris administered the oath of office. Home prices increased in November at the fastest pace in more than 6 years compared with the year earlier. The 20-city index from S&P CoreLogic Case-Shiller shows home prices rose more than 9%. The Dow is up 30 points to 30,990. This is NPR.